Hello, and welcome to Paige's Peculiar Podcast, the podcast where I, your host, Paige Dashen, talk about various story ideas and concepts. Today, we are going to talk about a five-day-old ship child and how that interferes with her family. Not necessarily interfere, exactly, but her family on her dad's side. Her dad, not her. Okay, you know what? Let's just hop into this. Why not? Alright, you might want a pen and paper out with you just to help you visualize this. I know it's gonna help me, it would help me a lot, but now we're gonna get into the family tree, which Ari and I have joked a lot about how, complicated it is. Frankly, I've gotten used to it just because the key to all of it is don't overthink everything. But of course, at the time, at first, it was, instead of having Cadmus and Enzo, we had Nightmare and Dream from Dreamtale, the Undertale AU. And so that clashed a lot with how Grape is Chatten's mother, but Nightmare married Chatten and Dream married Grape. And so it's very, very, oh boy. Anyways, so basically we're gonna start at the top. We start with Grape. Grape has a brother named Nick. Nothing really happens to him. He ends up dying after, well, no, he just has 20 years on Grape, basically. So we got Nick, and then Grape, with nobody else, has Chatten. Chatten is Grape's daughter. Grape wanted to bring back her best friend Dash, and that didn't work out, and instead now she has Chatten. Then Enzo and Cadmus come along. Enzo marries Chatten, and Cadmus marries Grape. And so Enzo and Chatten, no wait, no. Cadmus and Grape, they have a daughter. Her name is Melanie. So Melanie is Chatten's sister. And that means Cadmus is Chatten's stepfather. And so Enzo and Chatten have a daughter. Her name is Marley. Marley is Melanie's niece, and Melanie is Marley's aunt. But because they're so close in age, they just call each other cousin. Because, frankly, to me, that's a lot easier because, I mean... To me, Cadmus and Enzo, they have a more brother-like relationship, but they're just childhood friends, basically, and Chatten wants nothing to do with Grape, and Grape wants nothing to do with Chatten, family-wise, but yeah, anyways, it's complicated. And so, Melanie meets James. They can't have kids, because... So, skeletons reproduce through magic of spirits and all this stuff. James, I haven't quite figured out how unknowns reproduce, but it's not gonna be magic, I can tell you that. And so then Marley, by herself, has twins. Nobody helps her have twins, she just has twins. I've actually joked to where it's like things skip generations, so like Grape can swim, Chatten can't. Marley can swim, the twins can't. And then, of course, there's Grape had Chatten with nobody else, and it skips a generation, and Marley has the twins with nobody else. Anyways, it's funny in my opinion. So we got Garnet, the girl. She's the girl twin. And then we have Duncan, the boy. He's the boy twin. And so we're gonna pause there. And we're gonna head up back towards Grape and Cadmus, and we're gonna put Vi, short for Violet, and Vine. Vi has a Chatten. So does Vine, but we don't talk about her Chatten. She's very... Vine doesn't like to talk about her universe and what goes on there. But Vi has a Shatten. That Shatten is S. Oh boy! Which, you could put this if you want. It's not very relevant. I don't know why I even mentioned Nick. I guess it was just kind of like, oh yeah, this is nice. But S goes to California, meets this beautiful woman, if I do say so myself. And they, S creates a daughter for them. Her name is Prism. That ends there. And so, okay, then we go back to Vine and Vi. So actually S made something. We aren't really sure what. It was supposed to help them with, getting the spirits to, you know, destroy the multiverse, but at the last second it noticed it, the error of their ways, and ended up putting up a fight, and so, yay, it helped. Its name was Thirteen, but it basically it's 13 scrambled up. When S died, for some reason they stuck around, even though they're supposed to be this personality. But now it prefers to go by Taff, or Taffy, and it calls itself a he. So we have Taffy the dude, and so when S dies, Vine basically adopts him. Not Vine, Vi. Sorry, I can name. Vi basically adopts him. And because S is dead, Vi's like, I need another child to mother over. So she makes Lavender, the shit kid between herself and Vine. Lavender's adorable, gosh dang it. Okay, yeah, and so, then we go back at the top, and we got Concord and Cameo. Cameo, so Concord is, kind of like the second in command of the EGs. Cancellor was the leader. Vine is the leader of the EGs. She's the one who, like, runs the show. And so, yeah, Concord and Cameo, they get together, and they have a daughter. Her name is Indy. Indy's interesting. I like Indy. But yeah, anyways, Indy gets with Lavender now, and they have a son. His name is Lynn. Because Ari and I, when we were trying to come up with a name for this kid, were like, what would his name be? I don't know what his name would be, so we're like, Lindy. It's just Lindy, okay. But he's called Lynn for short, because oh my gosh, the name potential. Anyways, and so after, yeah, okay, so now we go back to both sides. We got Garnet, Duncan, and Lynn. Duncan and Lynn get together, and they have a daughter. Her name is Vivian, but we call her Vivi. She's adorable! And is that it for the family tree? I think so. Huh. Alright. Time to get started. Alright. So now, we're gonna start off with where this all starts, where this whole, like, family starts. So we have Grape. We know what's up with Grape. Grape is a magical skeleton who's protector of who's the protector of the AUs, basically. But Cadmus and Enzo, I love their story idea because it was perfect. It still fit the pieces for Dream and Nightmare, so they are awesome. So, once upon a time, in fact, I might even read this story at some point, but there's not that much written to it yet. Once upon a time, there was a sacred grove. In this grove were fruits and vegetables, various just plants that were seen as sacred, and they had magical powers. And so it was all pretty cool and all, but there were two trees that were truly the best part of the grove. They were the centerpieces of the garden. Well, I say centerpieces, we got the east peach tree and the west peach tree. Yeah, that's right, they're peach trees. Because I can't do apples! Anyways, so I think it's the west peach tree? Peach tree? Or is it the east peach tree? I'm not sure. I believe I can look it up real quick, though. Let's see. Okay, good. It's still recording. Nice. But anyways, so we got... Crap. When does the sun comes up in the east, right? Prime joy, most important fruits would probably be... story starts with the guardians of those two trees. Cadmus, caretaker of the... Okay, so the East Peach Tree is taken care of by Cadmus. Cadmus, he is a very rambunctious kid. He wears very dirty clothing sometimes. His hair is a bit messed up. And, like, all the stuff. He's a pretty nice kid. And then we got the Western Peach Tree. Enzo, or Lorenzo is his whole name, but we call him Enzo, because Enzo has a nice ring to it, and prove me wrong, I dare you. Anyways, Enzo takes care of the dark peach tree, the western peach tree. That peach tree, so the eastern peach tree, it has light peaches. Peaches that are filled with light, and are rumored to have the power of immortality and invincibleness. Once you eat it. The West Peach Tree, though, they're like little black holes. They're so dark that it's kind of scary looking at those peaches, and Enzo takes care of those peaches. He's a very tidy person. He wears formal clothing most of the time because he doesn't see why not. He doesn't get dirty often. He likes to read a lot in the tree. He likes to look up at the stars at night, all this stuff. He's actually pretty nice. I like him. And so there's kind of this group of bullies that just come over and mess with Enzo. They're very mean, they bully him, they make fun of the tree, which then gets him kind of mad, and then he ends up having to get them away. It's this whole thing. Well, anyways, long story short, Cadmus ends up meeting Enzo, and they become friends. Drama happens, and Enzo gets taken away from the tree by Cadmus because it's like, oh yeah, come see my peach tree, because it used to be that Cadmus would go over to Enzo. Well, Enzo doesn't really have any neighbors, unlike Cadmus. Cadmus has a lot of neighbors. He has a lot of friends. Enzo is just seen as the problem person who, like, takes care of the most dangerous thing there is. Which, I mean, they're not wrong. Anyways, and so... Yeah, during that time, the peach tree is almost burned down. And so Enzo panics, he runs back, and he's like, oh no, and a tree branch falls off. And on that tree branch, lo and behold, it's a peach. A dark peach. I've actually imagined it to be quite, like, pretty cool. It's where it just, like, falls in front of him, the flames illuminating the tree branch and the peach, and he's just like... It's the last one. There's no others. And then, of course, because we need some consternation and whatnot, Enzo eats the peach. Yes, that's right. He eats the peach. Just nom. Gone. Now, he's filled with a lot of pain, but soon enough, the darkness takes over him. And it's like, oh hey, this is new. Let's take advantage of this! Where's the light peach tree? Enzo ends up showing up, and Cadmus is like, oh hey! What's up with you? Long story short, they end up both dying. And so, now, they're both dead, but they come back as skeletons. Because before, they were more like these demigods who watched over this, like, sacred garden, or grove, or whatever you want to call it. This very special garden! Get out of the roses. And so, basically, what happens is when they come back, Enzo is the first one to come, like, to wake up. And so he notices that his clothes are in rags, and he's like, that's not how this is supposed to go. And so he looks up, and there's a castle! He's like, oh hey! This castle looks really nice. I'm gonna have this. I call dibs. Cadmus, go away. I call dibs. Anyways. And so, yeah, that's his castle now. And he finds clothes on it. He changes clothes. He has a new cloak now. The cloak is, like, Cloak of Darkness, where he basically uses it as a shadow portal. Anyways, and so Cadmus wakes up, and he doesn't quite know where to go. So he kind of just runs off somewhere, because, you know, he's wearing his clothes. He'd like to change out of them, but I mean, like, he's in them now. There's no stopping this. So yeah, he runs off. He finds a place. It's like a cute little cottage that's in the, like, in this, like, snowy forest. And there, he gets new clothes, all that stuff. Anyways, then we get into the family tree part again! Yay! Okay. Cadmus meets Grape, Enzo meets Shatten, Enzo helps out Shatten to get revenge on Grape. Cadmus ends up fighting back because he believes Grape doesn't deserve this, because frankly, Grape was 16! 16! And she had Shatten because she's like, I miss my friend! And Shatten comes back, and Grape freaks out because it's like, what the heck is this? I don't know, but that's not Dash! Anyways, and so what happens is Cadmus and Grape get married, they have Melanie, and Shatten and Enzo get married, they have Marley. So this whole thing is supposed to happen. S does end up coming around and being like, ha, I'm gonna destroy the multiverse because you idiots didn't know that that nice therapist lady in California was helping me. Yeah, they're all my skeletons are oblivious in one way or another about something eventually. So then we have the Queen C story arc, which I'm not gonna get into because, I mean, it's so confusing. I gotta change some of it anyways. And so after that, Marley takes her father's place as the embodiment of darkness. She's now the Queen of Darkness. Well, technically Princess, because Queen C kind of messed up a lot of things for Marley. But yes, Enzo was the King of Darkness. Now Marley has taken his spot. Same for Melanie. Melanie takes Cadmus's spot as the King of all lightness. I don't know. I don't know. And she takes a spot, and so now it's Melanie versus Marley, and not Cadmus versus Enzo. Well, time passes, and they duke it out every now and again, and Marley ends up successfully killing Melanie by accident. She thinks it's an accident, but the personality of the Dark Peach, its name is Dark Terror, it fully meant to do this, because that meant the Protector was now dead, that meant there was no more light. And so the personality for the Light Peach, I still haven't found a name for it. I like this name Luxion, but that's the name of an editor from Markiplier, so I'm not so sure about that. I don't see the problem in it, but I mean, like, I'm really scared of getting copyrighted. Anyways, even though it's just a name and I don't know what I'm freaking out about. Anyways, well, you know what? We're calling it Luxion. So Luxion doesn't know quite where to go. So it's like, oh yeah, the twins! So it goes over to Garnet. Garnet is now the new embodiment of all light. So, the darkness on Marley ends up coming off, and it's like, ha, I don't need a vessel anymore, joke's on you, and runs away. Anyways, James is very upset. He doesn't yell at Marley, though. Marley doesn't know what to do with herself. Enzo is just like, what the heck have you done? Duncan ends up getting taken by the dark thing, because then it realizes that, like, wait, there's still light here. That's not supposed to happen. So it takes Duncan, and now Duncan is the new embodiment of darkness. The twins. We now have the Dreamtail storyline. Two twins, one light, one dark. Oh no, what do you think's gonna happen? They fight. So yeah, anyways. And so Duncan starts getting, like, he gets infected almost by the darkness because he doesn't know how to control it. I mean, Enzo taught Marley how to be like, okay, calm down. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But Duncan got taken away by it. So there's nobody around to be like, hey, it's okay, calm down. It's just running its course. It's fine, okay? Just, yeah, but no, that Duncan ends up freaking out and then getting infected. So he's infected while his sister is just running around being a happy bean that she is. And so I started writing the story this past week about, like, oh yeah, Duncan, Twin on, it's called Twin on the Run, because I couldn't think of anything better, and the only image I had in my mind was Duncan running away from Garnet when I thought of that title. Twin on the Run, you scream and everybody comes a running. Anyways, but he has Lynn. He meets Lynn, and so Garnet pressures Duncan into telling his mother, their mother, Marley, about the infection. And so Lynn's like, hey man, now I'll go with you. I'll be the supportive boyfriend I am, and I'll go with you, Duncan. Duncan says thank you, and they go. Alright, I guess by now at this point, I'm just explaining the story. Yeah, Lynn comes with Duncan to tell his mom about Duncan being infected. And so, you know, they come over for lunch. Marley's like, oh yeah, hey, what's up? So what was it you wanted to talk to me about? And so Garnet is staring Duncan down. She's the one who's like, Duncan, you have to tell mom! This isn't okay. You haven't been home for how many years now? You should at least come by and talk to her. Oh, and while you're at it, tell her about your infection, or else, boy howdy, you're not gonna like how I tell her. And he's like, oh yeah, okay, I'll tell her. Anyways, he goes, and so it's lunchtime, so he pops by with Lynn, and Lynn just says hi to Marley, and like, you know, supportive boyfriend things. And so he's about to tell Marley, but then he kind of panics, because he's calm and collected. And then Garnet continues to talk, and she says, yeah, I had to bug him to get him here because he was very anxious to tell you. And even the word anxious alone just got his anxiety just to shoot up again and be like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, this could like really devastate my family because, huh, oof. And so he freaks out, and instead of saying, oh yeah, I have this darkness infection, he basically proposes to Lynn. But not in the way to where it's like, oh yeah, he gets down on one knee and it's like, oh, yes, yes, I will marry you. You will be the man for me. No, he says, Lynn and I are getting married. Enzo takes a spit take. Garnet just gives him this most disappointed look, and Marley's bone brows just shoot straight up, and she's like, good for you. And then the rest of the evening goes, and it's like, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, because Lynn is getting lectured, or just interrogated, by Duncan's grandfather and sister, and Marley is just giving Duncan, like, just like, are you sure about this, just because she wants to make sure that her son is gonna be happy. Yeah, anyways, so they end up getting married, and yes, Lavender and Indy know, they end up fighting over what Lynn should wear, because Lavender argues that Lynn would look adorable in a dress. But Indy's like, no, he's our son. He's gonna look the sharpest knife we have in a suit. And, of course, he lets Duncan know. He's like, yeah, my parents keep... They're arguing about what I should wear. And Duncan's like, where would you want? I mean, you could come out and literally just wearing pants, and I would love you anyways. And Duncan's like, or Lynn's like, yeah, that's kind of a given, because we're about to get married. I would hope that you're okay with me. But he ends up, it's kind of cute, he just walks out, like, he tucks his shirt in, because he's wearing a button-up, he's still wearing his necklace, and then he, like, you know, just walks out, and he's not even wearing shoes. That's what I love the most about it. Anyways, they get married, and they have Vivi. At the point when Livy is, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, when she's 8, it would be nice, because she still has that kid thing. She's still a kid. But I mean, like, when she's 14, works just as fine, too. So, at this point, Duncan's infection has gotten to his skull. And so it's down his, let's see, left eye. So there's, like, some black down his left eye. Some of it's jagged, some of it is kind of wavy. So it's kind of this weird mixture of both. And so it turns out one night that it's really been hurting him. So Lynn is luckily able to get him to fall asleep, and then falls asleep himself. And then he wakes up in the middle of the night to Duncan standing in the corner ominously, facing the corner, wearing all his clothes, including his shoes. And of course, Lynn's like, you good? Like, what's up, honey? And so that's when Duncan turns around. He's like, I don't know why the boy loves you. I don't see the appeal. And of course, that's when Lynn is like, red flag, like, oh, this isn't Duncan. It's that thing he was talking about. The peach thing, whatever. I don't know. But so Lynn's about to use his magic. But the thing is, Lynn has this crystal necklace he always wears. That crystal necklace gives him his magic, because, you see, he was born from an artist's creation and the daughter of two very big murderers in the multiverse. And so his magic's kind of faulty. And so he wears the crystal to be able to use his magic correctly. But without the crystal, which he sees is hanging out of Duncan's pocket, he can't do much, and he's like, well, crap! So they're about to have, like, you know, a fist fight, but then Duncan's like, nah, man, we're not hurting this man. We're being nice to the man who loves us. And so ends up, you know, getting him out of the way, probably tying him up in, like, some kind of dark magic or whatever. And so this idea I've actually gotten from a, like, scary story told in, like, a story format by this dude. And so there was this one about this demon that, or whatever it was, that would, like, come and mess with this girl. And so, of course, the mother's worried. Anyways, so what ends up happening in the story is this demon walks out of the closet in the girl's room, and she's laying on the bed, so she immediately gets under the bed to hide. The demon ends up running all throughout the house. Like, at first it walks, but then it starts running, checking every room and everything, and then it gets into her room, gets on top of the bed. She's freaking out mildly, and then she just looks, and its head is upside down from being on top of the bed and staring at her, so she screams. Anyways, that's basically what happens with Duncan, because Lynn calls out to Vivi. He's like, hey, something's up with Dad. Hide, please. And so Duncan ends up running throughout the house, or this thing, and it checks her closet, it checks the bathroom, everywhere. It runs throughout the house. And Vivi can hear it when she's under her bed, because that's where she decides to hide. And so what ends up happening is Duncan just goes over to her bed. So her bed is kind of situated, not necessarily in a corner, but, like, towards the middle of the room against the wall. So let's say you're sitting on the bed, and on the right side is a window, and on the left side is where the door is. So Duncan walks through the door, goes over to the window, and then sits on the bed. And so it's quiet for a moment. There's no moving. Everything just kind of seems like, okay. And so, Vivi is focused on where her dad just got onto the bed, because she's like, I'm not so sure about this, and then she's like, wait, the other side. So she looks, and surely enough, he's looking at her, and she just screams. That ends up distracting Duncan enough to where, like, his magic falters for a moment. Lin gets free. And so he runs into Vivi's room and just... there's a fight between the two. And... oh boy. I'm not exactly sure how this goes, but he ends up grabbing the crystal. Vivi gets out from under the bed towards the window, and so he picks her up and then just... they go through the window. Lin is the one who smashes it with, like, I don't know, a chair or whatever, I don't know. And then he jumps through with her, protecting her, and so they just end up running. Anyways, now I've explained some of the story, let's get into how this affects the family tree again. This is quite interesting, if any of this is making sense. Alright, so as I explained before, Marley ends up accidentally killing Melody, who's the embodiment of light. The darkness that is on her, it didn't account for Garnet being alive. It didn't account for the Luxian to just go to Garnet and be infested in her. So, whatever. So, when Duncan gets infected and this dark terror comes out again, it now knows that if it kills Garnet, it's gonna go over to Duncan's daughter, Vivian. So it figures out in its head, hey, we need to kill Vivian. We gotta kill Vivi. And of course, Duncan is devastated by this. He doesn't know what to do. He's trying to fight it, but it's so difficult at this point. It's, again, all the way up to his face. It's on his face. It started off on the palm of his hand because he accidentally cut himself with his weapon, but now it's gone up his arm to his chest, where, keep in mind, his spirit is, so it's kind of attached there too, and now it's on his face. But there's nothing he can do. The best he can hope for is that Lin is, like, able to protect Vivi, and that she ends up living. Now, there's two ways this story can go. The one way is that they end up... Vivi is safe, and so it ends up that, I don't know, the story gets resolved somehow. Dark Terror isn't a problem anymore, but then that means another issue is gonna have to pop up. But the side that I've thought the most about is Duncan ends up successfully killing Vivi. Vivi is dead, and so Lin is devastated, Duncan inside is devastated, but then he goes to his sister. He means to go to her to just ask for support, because he needs somebody, but it seems like Dark Terror only let him out to try and lure out Garnet, because Garnet was hiding when... Lin, like, told her, like, hey, something's up with Duncan, I think you need to hide, because it's that, like, Peach personality thing that's popping up. So, they end up, Garnet ends up coming out, she's like, what's going on? And so, Duncan starts to talk, but then Dark Terror kicks in, and it's like, oh, I've been waiting for you, and then you just, like, kills Garnet. Like, oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy. Duncan, you have a lot of explaining to do. But when the darkness thinks that it's the Luxian is gone, Dark Terror thinks Luxian is gone, it decides, it's like, again, it's dedicated that it's not going to make the same mistake twice. So it checks on the family. Turns out, Enzo has it! Enzo cannot move, he is stuck, because oh boy. When he died and came back as a skeleton, his spirit was only made for the Dark Peach. It couldn't handle the Light Peach, so now here he is, paralyzed. Marley doesn't know what to do, because heaven forbid oh boy, any of this happening. And so Duncan ends up killing Enzo too. And so then the light goes over to Marley, and Marley, it hurts. It hurts because her body was originally, like, again, it was, her body was born from darkness. It was born from a shadow and the King of Darkness. So it can't really handle this light embodiment responsibility. So she ends up trying to run away, but she gets far, but she only is able to, like, run around in the forest. Even then, Duncan finds her, and it's like, oh, goodbye. And so at this point, the whole bloodline of the light and dark Peach is only on Duncan now. And so the Luxion doesn't know where to go, because it's gone through the entire family. Grape's dead, Cadmus is dead, Melanie's dead, there's James, but James isn't able to, he can't take on the responsibility. He's bound to be a different person. He can't process it. He can't hold Luxion. He'd just die because it's too much for him, frankly. Marley's dead. Enzo's dead. Shatten's dead. Garnet's dead. Vivian's dead. It's only Duncan. But it remembers. There's only one person. One other person that can stop this, and Luxion can be safe with. Lin. Lin's magic may be wonky, but Luxion could help him, like, to contain it, help him use it, all this stuff. So it goes to Lin. Lin's in tears, crying to his mothers, because he doesn't understand what's going on. He wants to know what's happening, but with Duncan running off, it's not like he can just ask his husband. He's gone. And Vivian's dead. And of course, that's very sad. Luxion comes to him, and it's like, hey, I need your help. Just, can you be a vessel? And Lin's like, what's the point anymore? Yeah, sure, whatever. Then Lin becomes the new embodiment of light. And so Dark Terror senses this. It's like, wait, that little biscuit is still running around getting in vessels. And so Dark Terror ends up trying to confront Lin, but Lin's like, okay, no, calm down. Duncan, I know you're in there, come on. Buddy, there doesn't need to be any more death. Yeah, it's kind of stopped there. I figured what it would be like is, like, Duncan would end up just being like, you know what, I'm tired of all this, and then just puts Dark Terror away in a little box, but the thing is, he's still the embodiment of darkness, and Lin is still the embodiment of lightness, because Luxion can't go anywhere. And so, now they especially can't have another kid, and they can't touch each other. Because if Lin touches Duncan, it ends up, like, kind of almost burning Lin a little bit. So they can't even touch each other. Duncan ends up, like, running away just again and just being on the run. That's how I've imagined it. That's how I've imagined Vivi's death. And if Marley had to die, and Enzo should die at some point. I mean, he's how old at this point? That's what I've come up with. Interesting, really. Alright, this has been quite the episode, actually. It's decently long, I'm not gonna lie. I don't know, should I still plug in the other podcast? Yeah, sure, we'll still plug in the other podcast. So this isn't the only podcast I do. I do one with my friend Ari, who I was talking about today. What our podcast is called, Judgment Awaits. It's basically about this story. It's Undertale fanfic, basically, we wrote when we were in middle school. And so we read over it, we reread, re-cringe, and re-explain. Or, I don't know, it's something like that. Reread, re-explain, and re-cringe. I think that's it. And so we read that, and I like it, actually. It's fun, nice, and chaotic. I get to explain what I was thinking. And even what I'm thinking now. Yeah, so that's one of them. And then we do another one with Ari's friend, Lynn. It's called Commit It to Memory. It's a Kingdom Hearts recap podcast to where they try to explain Kingdom Hearts to me. But, they can't say any character's name that isn't exclusive to Kingdom Hearts. So they could say Sora, but they can't say Goofy. Goofy's nickname, I believe, is, Gorsh, and then Donald is Healer. And so what ends up happening is, whenever they mess up a nickname, it's kind of funny, they have to come up with a nickname for everybody, a new nickname. So Sora ends up being Cornflake. That's nice. I think the first time we did that and messed up, we were very hungry at the time. I don't think I had lunch, and it was almost dinner time. That was nice. But yeah, thanks for listening to this podcast, by the way, to those of you who are. And if you have any questions, comments, please let me know in my email. It is pagerdashin14@gmail.com. And just thanks. Have a nice day.